your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with a man from Western Australia named Roger Weston. And Roger and I met many, many, many years ago. He can probably tell you how many, not I. I'm very bad with dates. And when we met, we had this very interesting and very intense discussion about his practice of spirituality and of his own healing practice as he understood it from Sai Baba, and then how that interacted or not with his practice of Reiki. Through the years, I've lost touch with Roger, and just recently, by some fortuitous chance, we've come back together again. So I'm really happy to welcome Roger. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Thank you very much.
You know, we're in this whole series of what is a spiritual path, what are the influences that each of us carry from our own personal lives about spirituality, what has Reiki offered to us in the case of our what we might call our own spiritual path or our own spiritual practice, and what are spiritual practices for you, and so on. So there's lots of questions, and I'm really enjoying this whole sort of journey through this facet that seems to be so up, I would say, in people's lives these days, and that is, who are we? What is our relationship with something greater than us, and how do we serve humanity, and how is humanity served by us being spiritual? So I think those are some of the even more deeper questions that we might be able to get into, but having only a short hour, we'll see where we get to. So, Roger?
Yeah, and I think you're raising some really interesting questions, so this is a good thing to be doing.
Oh, great. I'm glad you're in it. And so just to have as a little starting place, I always ask my interviewees, how did you meet Reiki and when and so on? A Reiki story.
I guess I'm one of those fairly, normally a happy-go-lucky Sagittarian who just happens to stumble into the right things at the right time. And to some extent, I can blame or thank my wife for introducing me to Reiki. She thought that it would be a very good addition to our lives. And I attended a Reiki 1 class and thought, well, this is really nice. I like this. And I added it to the modalities that I was using at that time in a practice that I was using. And shortly, well, a year or so later, I organized a series of workshops for an Eastern States Reiki master, and that led me to do Reiki 2, which in turn then led me on to helping some of these local Reiki masters, and led ultimately to me becoming a Reiki master myself in 1993. So it was really just a series of doors that opened, and with my typical Sagittarian good luck, I stepped through them, and here I am.
Wow, great. And in the beginning, how did you find Reiki? Did you find it as really something to, take care of headaches or apply, you said, to other people? Did you have a massage practice, or was the modalities that you were speaking of?
Yeah, I was working with modality and with Reiki and also with polarity.
Uh-huh.
So those were, and I thought, well, this is another energy practice that'll be really good to add to my repertoire. So it wasn't really a conscious decision to step into a whole new phase of my life, but that's actually what unfolded.
And now, after, you know, all these years, how would you describe that unfolding? What do you feel like Reiki brought to your life?
I think probably a number of different things. I think one, as a practice, it's, you know, I see, fundamentally I see Reiki as a practice which looks at the harmonies and the disharmonies that exist within each person. And then the energy quietly works a way to enhance those things that are good, and it seeks to dissolve out of one's life those disharmonies. And so for many people, there's that idea, and certainly for me, that there's been an increasing wholeness in my life. And I think one of the most amazing and wonderful things about Reiki is that as we find that increasing wholeness within ourselves, it enables us to connect to that greater wholeness in a way that is really difficult to describe.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we could use many terms, you know, as we find God within, we feel connected to God. As we find the Spirit within, we feel connected to the Spirit. So for me, that's probably been one of the most profound aspects of my journey with Reiki. That increasing sense of inner wholeness, then enabling me to feel connected to that totality of the wholeness. I don't necessarily have any terms for these things. I don't have any images or pictures of beings, but there's that definite sense of inner wholeness and outer wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for me, that would probably be one of the primary benefits that I would have seen mm-hmm. in my own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, very beautifully said. Thank you. I like the increasing wholeness concept. It goes along with something that Paul often says, and that is that we're healed enough to take our next step. And
yes.
Certainly that's my experience.
Well, I think we need that courage. And I think that one of the things that Reiki does is it just gently encourages us. It makes us aware. And I think that's probably one of the other major facets of what's happened for me, is that it's introduced me in, it's extended my experience of India and Hinduism into Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at Buddhism and begin to look at the form of Buddhism, I see that probably historically Reiki has its origins in Buddhism. And so, for me, there's that, what's the form of Buddhism? How does that apply? Okay, well, if that applies there, how does that apply to my own life? And so it's given me a format, a frame, in which to view, to contemplate, to discuss, to argue with myself about how my own life is going and where I want it to be going and how I'm going to be getting there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that Reiki's definitely done is to bring that into my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into another facet of your life, and I just want to do a little lead-in for myself, and that is that, you know, when I first got into Reiki, it was really kind of a pseudo-medical model kind of thing through my grandmother, and you know, I was pretty confused about it because this, I was very deeply entrenched in the medical model of my father, who was a GP, a general practitioner in a small town, one of those original country doctors who,
yep.
You know, took hay and chickens and vegetables as well as money for his services and, you know, didn't charge very much. And I didn't know, actually, until I went to college that doctors could actually make money. And actually, you know, their children could, you know, like go to dress shops and have really hot dresses and so on. So I was a little bit on the jealous side of my compatriots in college. But anyway, then once I kind of broke through that resistance, I realized for myself that, you know, there are all these people that were in Reiki who had had a guru. And I thought, oh, gee, that really sounds great. And I was not very enthusiastic about my own sort of congregational Christian upbringing. I mean, it was a beautiful little church, and I loved the people there, and I never got it somehow. So one of the things that Reiki has done is brought me back to that place, and I now have it, what I was looking for, but it didn't get it through this church process. So I thought, you know, like every person, I had something that was in my hands, and now I was being led to a guru, but I never made it to India for who knows why, but I just never made it, and now I feel like I probably will never go there because of my own cutting down of traveling and so on. So I'm just wondering, how did you get to India? I know that you had gone there and sat with Sai Baba for many years before you had come in contact with Reiki. Is that true, or is that my assumption?
Well, for me, that whole India era of my life was really quite a lengthy process.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's really clear about India is that it's infectious. It's a bit like getting malaria or something. If you get Indianitis or whatever it is, well, then you've had it really, because as much as you love and hate being there every day and every moment, as soon as you leave it, there's some heartfelt longing. There's something extraordinary about the whole experience of India. And I was introduced to that in 1977 when I went backpacking for a year. This gal and I decided that we'd go from Perth to Greece in a four-month overseas trip, and it took us a year to get to Delhi. It was a fantastic trip, and during
Great.
That time, I spent 5 months in India.
Wow. Well, we're going to stop right there because I need to take a station break, and we'll be right back with the rest of Roger's trip. So don't go away. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Back in a few minutes.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to reikimagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
reikimagazine.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
the new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me from Western Australia, Roger Weston, and he and I have known each other for many years, since the mid-1990s, when I used to go to Australia and do workshops, and he was, well, fortunately for me, one of my organizers, because he's a great organizer, and we had some great discussions, and I'm glad to rediscover him only in the last year, and he's just talking a bit about his travels, a year backpacking tour to the Far East, and he spent 5 months in India, and we're coming now to the exciting moment. Roger?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so you landed in India.
I did, and I think there's nothing that prepares anybody for landing in India, especially during the 70s, but it was wonderful, it was bizarre, it was exciting, and in some strange way, it was just really heart-opening. And during that year of travels, partly out of relief to get away from India and Indians, I would go and stay at some of the various ashrams as I traveled from one end of India to the other. So that really deepened some of my experience of yoga and meditation and some of the yogic practices. Mm-hmm. And I returned from that year and really quite happily continued to immerse myself in yoga and meditation and so on. And it wasn't really until then, the early 80s, when I was living in a little warehouse in Fremantle and the America's Cup race was going to be on, and I was offered the opportunity to rent it and rent my warehouse and go away for 4 months. So I thought, well, India, that's definitely where I want to go. And as I've never met this person called Sai Baba, that would be an ideal opportunity to do that. So as a lingering hangover from my earlier days, I'd intended to spend about 10 days at the ashram and then go up to Nepal and go trekking and then go down to Thailand to one of my favorite islands. And I guess these days we'd say, just chill out for a couple of months.
Sounds great.
Well, it was.
And what really happened?
Yeah, exactly. I went across and went to his ashram, and the moment he walked out and I saw him, I fell in love. And I still find it really hard to describe the intensity of that experience, but something unimaginable, unexplained, unexpected happened. And a lot of the stuff that I'd been carting around in my head, my knowledge, my understanding of what life, the universe and everything was all about, some of that was distilled and forwarded to my heart.
Mm.
And it was just such a profound experience. So much so that I stayed for 2.5 months and then I ran up to Nepal and ran around the mountains. I didn't walk, I ran. And I came back down to the ashram and spent the rest of my time there before returning. So it was extraordinary, and it was extraordinary being at that ashram at that time because it was small, it was very personal. I had a lot of you used to call me the question man, and do you remember that?
I can totally remember the question man again.
So, of course, I had lots of questions to ask this person. I had lots of requests. I had lots of things that I wanted to do. And so I probably badgered Sai Baba fairly much. But it was just a wonderful time of my life. And it just opened me out to this whole idea that, not just to the idea, actually, but to the experience that I'm a spiritual being in human form. And for that, I will always be totally indebted to Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And I guess then at some point you begin to realize, or one begins to realize, that it isn't about it out there. It's about the inner experience. And so in more recent years, what I've wanted to do really was to enhance and further develop the God within me.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing that I'm a part of a much greater whole. Phyllis, I don't know whether you're aware, do you know anything about holograms?
Yes, I know the principle of holograms.
Yeah, and I love that holographic idea of the universe, that you've got like this total whole and complete holographic image, and then you smash it, and in each of the thousands of pieces there's a whole and complete
mm-hmm.
image. And I see, that's how I see life in the universe, that I'm a whole and complete part of a much greater wholeness and completedness.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't something I'm now just carting around in my head. It's really something which comes from my heart.
Mm-hmm. So one of the questions that comes up for me is that I've had a lot of contact with people who have been in contact with, first of all, Muktananda, and then his successor, Guru Mai, which is a kind of familiar name, Chittavalasananda. And then, of course, there are all the people who have connected with Osho and his kind of wild and crazy teachings, which are kind of really up my alley, I have to say. And then Sai Baba. So these three ashrams and these three very unique people who have come through, you know, when I think about a guru, I think about the word enlightenment. And I'm just wondering, what's your experience of that, and how would you describe enlightenment? And I assume, and I guess I should ask you this, I assume that you consider Sai Baba to be enlightened. Or?
Oh, yeah, I do. In fact, I probably, in the Indian tradition, Sai Baba would be regarded as an avatar.
Uh-huh.
And an avatar is a god from the heavens who consciously descends to the earth
uh-huh.
to teach, because there's such a great need of good teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not simply just a reincarnation of a soul. This is really a very highly evolved person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really quite an extraordinary experience. And I think for me, the advantage of having had a guru in my life and still having a guru in my life is that it provides a working model. You know, Sai Baba would often say, my life is my message. And that, by that he means, if you look at him and observe him, you can see that he lives the principles and the actions that he would like to encourage in other people.
Mm-hmm.
He's moderate in all things. He's loving. He's kind. He's courteous. You know, he just has these exquisite qualities which, if we could embrace in our own lives, would lead us to be much better, much more conscious people, both for ourselves and both for everybody else that we're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So to some extent, for me, it's not, you know, the term enlightenment and it's sort of like it's some end point that perhaps on the last days of our life we struggle and think, okay, will I cross the line this time, or am I going to bomb out once again and have to come back and do this all again? So for me, the whole thing about enlightenment isn't that it's a point to reach. It's an ongoing process. And so day by day, I'm engaged in living my life as skillfully, as consciously, and with as much awareness as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the process that I think the teacher really encourages.
Mm-hmm. So in my understanding, enlightenment is which whatever, I can understand. Enlightenment is more of a state of being rather than the ultimate goal. And so there's something about this for me that, you know, if I try to be kind, I'm obviously not. You know, if I try to be loving on some level, I'm obviously not, because I'm trying. You know, there is this, in my own semantical way I put things together, this is where I'm at. But my understanding, though I've never been in their presence, but I've had some interesting contact, I have to say, through intermediaries and so on, that it's not just kindness, but there's this global presence that we call kindness, but for them it's really not a state of trying, it's a state of being. And I feel like that's really a kind of way for me to put it in my own mind.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but it's a bit like trying to ride a bicycle.
Okay.
In the beginning, you actually do have to try.
Uh-huh.
And then as you become more confident, you're actually able to do it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. Well, unfortunately, it's time for another break. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Roger Weston today on Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back in a few moments after the commercial break.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine. You'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ogling, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the 7th Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever-present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the 7th Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today I have with me Roger Weston, who's calling from Western Australia. And I want to welcome him again to the show. And we're deep in this conversation about enlightenment. And though I could get deeper into this, I'd like to just skim the surface a little bit and go to a question that maybe is just in people's minds. I know it has been for me for some 20-some-odd years, ever since I got into Reiki and identified myself as a Reiki master. So what do you think being a Reiki master is in light of people who are truly what I would say avatars? I mean, we walk the same planet, we have the same bodies, I would assume, and then it seems like there's great gulf of separation. So I know that we're preparing on the road, I don't know how you would describe it. You were very eloquent. But I'm just wondering, what is a Reiki master in this practice? And I've never wanted to be a guru, and I know that people have been afraid that I've wanted to be a guru, but this is a fear that they can just totally put to bed. But I, on the same time, it kind of is a question that begs a response, because how do we relate to this title, Reiki master?
And I think, Phyllis, you know, when I was talking a moment ago about riding a bicycle and how we get better at that,
right.
Reiki's a practice, so it's something that we engage in. And in the, I think it was 1997 when I went across to America to study with Lama Yeshe, and I know that those are controversial teachings these days, but the teachings that he was giving on the Buddhist practice of Reiki really introduced me to a Buddhist understanding of Reiki as a practice. And then, of course, how that applied to my life. So one of the things that came really clear from the Buddhist practice was that probably, and it's a bit hard to speak for the Buddha because he's been gone for a long time, but probably the Buddha never intended to create a religion. What he wanted to do was to say to people, look, engage in these practices and there will be outcomes. And generally those outcomes will be beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. And so what the Buddha did was he developed a series of practices like meditation and mantras and all kinds of other things that people could engage in. And when I look at Buddhism, what I see are that there are three significant components to Buddhism. There's teaching, empowerment, and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do as a Reiki master. I teach people about the history and the practice of Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Through the initiations, I give them the empowerment. I connect them to the energy. And then I set them the practice. And so for me, that's what I'm doing as a Reiki master. And it's the enormous privilege, really, of being a Reiki master, that I'm able to consciously work with and assist other people in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And to do it in a way that's all about creating independence.
Yeah.
You know, one of the great traps about having a guru is that it's so easy to become dependent upon them. Guru, guru, help me, help me, help me. And really, that's not what it's about. It's about helping ourselves. And mm-hmm. so as a Reiki teacher, I'm really happy to be assisting people to help themselves in their own lives, and also to be conscious that as I'm doing that, through observation of other people's lives and my own life, through observations of their interactions and so on, that I can constantly be continuing to, in my own terms, improve the quality of my own life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that the term guru really means teacher. It's nothing more than teacher. And I'm sure in your own way, you have been an enormous teacher. You've taught an enormous number of people an enormous number of things. And so, you know, you too, if you were going to use the Eastern term, are a guru. You're a teacher, as I am. And I think as we recognize that and recognize the part that we play, that we can do that then without all of the ego and all of the other stuff that so easily comes to that. What one of the things that the East shows is we should have respect for the teachings. It's not appropriate for a teacher to mess with the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, by quietly then accepting the discipline of the practice and immersing oneself in it, that's all that's required. And I see that that's probably one of the biggest confusions and one of the biggest distractions that we've seen in the West, that typically in the West we don't look at the inner teaching, we look at the outer form.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about how many symbols I've got, how many students mm-hmm. I've got, how many of this, how can I get more, how can I make it more interesting, more exciting, more bizarre, more, just more. And yet what the East teaches is it isn't about all the other stuff. If you look under the form, within the form, everything is contained. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about Reiki. In my hands, there is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need anything else beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the Eastern teachings, both from India and both from Buddhism, I can see that it's not the form that's important, it's the essence.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get that, I'm able to convey that as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
If my only understanding is about, you know, the various parts of it and how it looks, then that's what I present. But it doesn't have any heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the wonderful things. If I look back into my own journey, I can see initially I took Reiki on as another activity,
mm-hmm.
another modality. But throughout this period of time, that understanding has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, you probably think, God, this guy's really passionate about his Reiki. And I am.
Yeah.
I feel a passion about it.
That's great. Well, you know, my grandmother used to say, let Reiki teach you. And
yeah.
Over the years, you know, I know, and I'm not saying this to say I told you so, but it's so beautiful for me to hear you. And I'm totally thrilled you went to Lama Yeshe if this is what you got from him. Because, you know, this is one of the big conversations that we had, but I couldn't have articulated it in like some 12 years ago in the way that I can now, and I don't know that you would have heard it from me, but it's wonderful that you got it through your practice of Reiki. This is what I believe, and where Reiki
yep.
led you to get hints. So one of the things that I just like to say is I asked a woman the other day about, you know, what spiritual practice for her, and I expected a totally different answer than what I got. She
mm-hmm.
said, well, you know, self-treatment is a spiritual practice for me.
Yeah.
Remembering the precepts is a spiritual practice for me. Praying is a spiritual practice for me. Saying the rosary is a spiritual practice for me. Meditating is a spiritual practice for me. Being kind is a spiritual practice for me. So it really brought it down to what I would call ground level. You know, what
yeah.
we do in our everyday lives. And
yeah.
how that serves us. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy within not just the Reiki community, but certainly within what I would call the New Age community about what is a spiritual practice? Is Reiki going to become a religion? And am I considering it to be a religion? And this is something that's very interesting because I want to go back to the thing that you said about Buddha. I totally agree with you about Buddhism. And in the people that I know, who are from Japan, like my relatives and my, you know, the people that I have known from Hawaii, it's like, they don't consider Buddhism a religion. It's a way of being.
Yes.
Yes. And with that, I must say that we have, if you can believe it, yet another commercial break. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, balancing form and essence. We're trying to get everything in we can, and we'll be back.
Mm-hmm. awakened media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water!
Dude, Sam, it's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa, I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is our last segment with Roger Weston. So we're going to kind of pack it full. So Roger, before the break, I was just talking a little bit about, you know, spiritual practice. And I'm just wondering, you know, what you said about the Buddha and that he didn't really probably, I mean, whatever knows, mean it to become a religion. And that certainly is definitely true about me. But, you know, when I go back to the origin of the word religion, which is Latin, which I understand means to reconnect, it's like this is the main process that happens, whether people describe it as a reconnection to oneself, to one's spirit, to knowing that one has spirit, to reconnection between family, between the self and the earth and all living things. And, you know, there's this reconnection process is major in this.
Yep.
So what do you think? I mean, I know we're really confused, but I think the confusion is semantical rather than experiential, or?
Well, it seems to me that, and I totally agree with what you were saying just before the break, that ultimately, everything that we do becomes a spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the great teachings of the East, that it's not simply about being able to sit down and say, meditate for 20 minutes and then go off and kick your dog and be really nasty to your partner. You know, that doesn't work. The whole idea of, say, engaging in 20 minutes of meditation and developing that awareness is so that then when you see your partner and your dog, you're actually able to approach them in a conscious way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything becomes meditation. And I think that's one of the things that both the Eastern practices and that Reiki enhances, is that through the practice, we become aware. we become aware that what we do has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we become aware of that, then we can begin to make choices. And those choices then determine the quality of our life. And that's not just on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. You know, if I insult you now, you're going to be really pissed off with me. And that's going to be the direct result of me insulting you. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it happens straight away. So out of that awareness, I then begin to have this experience of my life has consequences, how I lead it has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And so then everything really becomes an expression of my spiritual life. How I choose to do that, I think, can to some extent be accidental. You know, you might be brought up in a Buddhist family, so you have that Buddhist view. Or you might be brought up in a Tibetan family, so you have that Tibetan view. But I think for many people, it just becomes simply a matter of, what do I choose to do? And then when you find something, and I think Reiki speaks to many people, that when you find that, it feels like, hey, this is really good. I really mm-hmm. like this practice. It doesn't make any great demands on me. I don't have to do indulgences and all kinds of other stuff. And yet, I feel really good from that. And so I think Reiki speaks really to the heart of many people. I understand what you're saying about, you know, the fear that Reiki might become a religion, but once again, I think that's because people haven't got it. What they're looking at is the form of Reiki, that mm-hmm. whole external idea, mm-hmm. and not seeing that really this practice is just simply working with the life force of the universe, and that it doesn't need any great religious structure around it. In fact, if you look back probably, and if you could speak to Jesus and Buddha and all of those people, they'd probably all say, oh, I wish it was like the good old days when what we did was we talked about love. And,
right.
and that was the principal story.
Exactly, exactly.
It wasn't wrapped up in all these other right. things.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really curious to know now, you have several different spiritual practices in your life, including meditation from Sai Baba and Reiki treatments and who knows what else that you do. Is that true for you?
It is.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I see all of...
Go ahead.
I was going to say I see all of those things as the same thing.
Uh-huh, right. And, you know, this is really important for me to say, and we just have a few more minutes, and that is that I feel that one of the gifts that Mikhail Usui offered us is that he was, I will use the word simple, just meaning that he was very one-minded. He had, whatever his burning question was, he had something inside of him that led him to discover, if you will, this particular and put together or stimulate this particular little form of practice that's really grown into an amazing array of different things. But, you know, in his own person, I believe that he was, first of all, a man driven by a spiritual quest, something that he needed to either express in himself or find for himself. And it didn't have a name. It didn't have Buddhism or Christianity or any of that. It just was drive. And, you know, he gave us a true gift for me, and that is that he's lifted for me religion out of my cynical place of myself into this understanding that we are all one, all religions are one, and we all seek the same thing because we are, when you boil it all down, in my simplistic viewpoint, a human being searching for the relationship of who I am, the speck of sand in this huge ocean of life, and that how did this come to be? What are my responsibilities, and how do I do it in a way that really serves everyone? And it's so beautiful for me to know that all of us, in our own way, are coming to what I might call, a practice that will encompass whoever we are individually.
Yeah. In fact, I think it builds on who we are individually, because that's one of the wonderful things about life, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
That there are so many different people who live their lives in so many different ways. And that's all part of the rich tapestry or fabric of life. It isn't about there's only one way or only one right or one wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as we begin to recognize that, we can actually live and let people live their own spiritual lives, understanding that what they're doing is right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And once
exactly.
again, for me, that's really come out of the teachings and the experience of working with Reiki, both with myself and also in sharing the journeys of other people in their lives.
Thank you. So, Roger, thank you so much for coming. Well, or for calling, I should say. Calling in and for reconnecting with me just fortuitously.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. I know that when you asked me to do this, I was really challenged. And it's been good for me to have reviewed this because it's a really significant part of my life. And so thank you for the opportunity to do it.
You're welcome. And listeners, you are so lucky. So this is, I bid you adieu, Roger. I will see you in September, and I'm really excited about that. And
good.
We'll talk about the radio show then. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.